Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back, and it's great to have your company on this Wednesday morning. Happy feast day for any grandparents out there on this wonderful feast of St. Joachim and St. Anne. And I hope your feast day is going to be wonderfully celebrated with all your grandchildren. Now, this is your chance to pray for your grandchildren, especially today, because that's what grandparents do best, I think. They pray for their grandchildren. So listen, there's two ways you can do that. You can call the show, just give us some names, we'll pray for them. Celebrate and give thanks in the way that Anna was giving thanks for her daughter, Rancy. We're going to give thanks for your grandchildren here live on air today. Why not? You can call the show on 888-928-0881 or just text me, 251-928-2111. Are your grandchildren worth a text? You decide. Now, each day I am accompanied in this voyage of discovery here as we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet by a prayer warrior, somebody who gives up their time, their energy, comes into the studio or down the line and prays with me here live on air. So let's find out today, who is our prayer warrior?
In the studio with us, Kevin, we have Mary Trawick and Rose Gardner again.
Hello.
Wow, Mary and Rose, wonderful. The Divine Mercy Sisters are amongst us again.
Yay,
she's back.
Rose has been in Germany, so I'm glad to have her back.
Absolutely. Yay. Well, we're going to find out all about those adventures that you've been on. But am I right in thinking both of you ladies are far too young to have grandchildren?
No. We both have a grandchild. Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we're going to definitely pray for those little grandchildren today. Are you very conscious of your vocation as a grandparent?
Oh, yes. Love it.
Especially in these times.
Right.
Now, would you agree with my now departed mother-in-law, who used to say it was the best bit? She really, really loved it. It was even better than being a mother.
Can't believe how I had no idea how great it was.
Neither did I.
Nobody could have told me.
Is that right? That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
It's the little piece of heaven on earth.
That is beautiful. Well, listen, we'll get into all of that in a moment. Both of these ladies, Mary and Rose, we've dubbed them the Divine Mercy Sisters, respectfully, but that's because they are so effective. They bring us lots and lots of intentions and lots of people to pray for. So they know the drill. They've been here many times, and they will have lots of intentions. But you can get Mary and Rose praying for your intentions today and also joining in celebrating your vocation as a grandparent. Now, wouldn't that be fun? Okay, so ladies, I'm assuming that you have brought the relevant equipment with you.
Absolutely.
Got the rosy beads.
I've got a Divine Mercy Chaplet with me.
You're absolutely superb, both of you.
A gift from our beautiful mother. So, yes.
Now, I hope as well, as I think one of you did, it might have been Rose, it might have been Mary, I can't remember. One of you brought a very noisy rosary one day and was apologizing for it. And we said, no, it's great. We love the special effects.
Oh, I got a lighter one this time.
Authentic rosary bead sound effects, Kevin.
I think they were made out of bowling balls, but I got a smaller one.
I can hear something. That's good. Whoever's rattling that chain,
that's
I love it.
There.
That's what we
that's
want to
Rose.
Hear. That's when you hear the real prayers coming through. That's wonderful. Okay, ladies, well, we've got a packed show. There's already lots of people that want us to pray for them, so this is great, and I'm so glad to have you both on the job this morning with me. So shall we begin?
Let's do it.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
That is wonderful. Well, we are up and running this morning. Now, I know some people have called in, and unfortunately, we were just saying our initial prayers. Do feel free. We'll take this first decade, but please do feel free to call in on 888-928-0881, and we'll try and get you on straight away. You might have to hold for a little bit, but we'll try and get you on as soon as we can. And of course, you can always text us on 251-928-2111. Okay, Mary or Rose, who wants to go first?
This is Mary. I can go first.
Okay.
Listening to your last segment with the child that had Rett's, I had a prayer of intention prepared for someone that has ALS, and that was going to be my intention. But I would like to include all of the degenerative diseases, the Rett's, myasthenia gravis, ALS, and the friend of mine, it's her husband that has ALS. It's Steve Wright. They just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And it was very touching at their celebration for her to dance with him. He was in a wheelchair. Of course, his mind is fine, but his body is so weak. And she just pushed him around the dance floor, and you could see the love in their eyes. So it was so sweet. But I pray for their suffering and all of those that are losing their facilities, gradually. And it's just that God will have mercy on them for healing, or for their caregivers, for the whole gambit of what goes into those kind of diseases.
That's a beautiful prayer, Mary, for something that really does need our prayers. We're definitely going to pray for Steve. May I ask Steve's wife's Christian name?
Yes, Rita.
Rita. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to pray very much for Rita and Steve. And we'll pray for Anna and Rancy and one of the other decades as well, Mary, because they were the guests of the show today. But I just want to pray really this decade for Steve and Rita. The picture you painted there was very moving and very beautiful, moving around that dance floor together. It really is, in essence, what the vocation of a husband and wife is, which is to help each other get to heaven. That's the only reason we're together when all is said and done. So Rita, as you know, is one of the patron saints of hopeless causes. You know that, don't you, Mary?
Yes.
So I would like to invoke Saint Rita to pray for Steve as well. God is a merciful God. He's also a mighty God, and we pray for miracles in this show. And I'd like to pray for some miracle. Lord, you know what it is. We don't know what it is, to come into the life of Steve and Rita. It may be that the love that they have for each other increases tenfold And that in itself is a beautiful miracle to behold. Mm-hmm. But I'd really like to entrust this couple, Steve and Rita, to your merciful love today through the prayers of Mary and Rose and everybody listening. You know what's best for them, Lord, and we commit them to your divine mercy this morning. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Rose. And Mary, do keep us up to date on Steve and Rita. I'd love to pray for them again on a regular basis as we go forward. I don't know if they ever listen to the show, but if Rita ever wants to call in, it'd be wonderful just to say hi.
Yeah, okay.
So, Rose, second decade is yours.
I would like to pray specifically for the holy souls in purgatory, and especially those, there are so many that have no one to pray for them. And so I'm asking prayers for those that have no one to pray for them and our deceased clergy as well.
It's beautiful. I don't know whether it was you or one of our other prayer warriors, Mary Thompson, but you know you've started me on this now. I not often include the holy souls that have no one to pray for them when I say my daily rosary. So I think it was either you or Mary or the combination of the two of you. You've alerted me to this real need, which is to pray for all those souls that have nobody to pray for them, that they are forgotten souls. And there may be souls within our own extended family. So I think this is a beautiful prayer, Rose. And let's pray this for everybody who we know also who we've lost in recent weeks and months. I'm thinking of your friend Tonya, yeah. Mary. Yeah.
And Jarrett.
Jarrett, your neighbor.
Jarrett. Yeah. So we include Tonya and Jarrett as well in these as well.
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Rose and Mary. Okay, so we've had a number of texts in. People are beginning to text in about their grandparents. So I'm just going to talk about that in this third decade. Good morning to you, Jim. Jim often texts his show, and Jim is asking for prayers for his grandchildren, Jack, aged 8, and Elizabeth, aged 5. Thank you and God bless. No, thank you, Jim, for letting us pray for young Jack and young Elizabeth. If they're anything like you, I'm sure they're full of beans, which is great to hear. So, Sherry, thank you for alerting us. Mary Kay's been on the phone. Mary Kay's a member of Blessed Silos in Spanish Fort. And she would like to pray for her grandchildren, Aidan, Alexander, and Ava Ann. So all those bonny little children, probably down in Spanish Fort, we'll be praying for those, Mary Kay, as well. Now, Louise has texted us in. Good morning to you, Louise. And Louise is actually the sister-in-law of Anna Luce, who was on the show in the last segment. And Louise says, I want to add that Anna is a wonderful source of support to Louise's family and to her children as well. And so that's wonderful, Louise, that Anna is not only doing a wonderful job with her own family, but also is a support for others as well. That's beautiful. So we pray for you, Louise. We pray for your family. Pray for your son, Hugh. And Louise is also asking for prayers for all the students of the Annunciation program at McGill Tulin High School. So, Louise, we're delighted to pray for those. And we'd also like to pray for you, Louise. I don't know if you're a grandparent just yet, but we pray that one day you also, if you're not, that one day you also enter into the joy of this wonderful vocation, as attested to this morning by none other than Mary and Rose. Okay, we'll add this all to the third decade as we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mary and Rose. So we've had some more texts coming in. Our good friend Dr. Amal has texted, in Thanksgiving, we prayed for a friend of hers known as Sophia, who's a Dutch student of psychology. And to quote Dr. Amal, all her exams went so well. Yay. Much better than she expected, and she is herself surprised at her great results.
That's awesome.
And is very, very grateful for all our prayers. Now, Sophia has a dissertation she has to submit on August 4th, so that then she will be graduating as what Dr. Amal describes as a wonderful Catholic psychologist.
Awesome.
So that's something to give thanks for. So we give thanks for Sophia and her wonderful exam results. Now, I don't know if you remember, ladies, we had on the show, thanks to Dr. Amal, a young woman whose job it is to pilot ships. Do you remember, Louise?
Yes.
The French sailor?
Yes.
She sails all around the world, and at the moment she's sailing towards Malaysia.
Oh, wow.
I know. And she listens to the show occasionally, and she sent us the following request. So, imagine, this is on board a ship, a merchant vessel, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean heading to Malaysia, okay? And she says, ask to pray for the faith and the pure heart of seafarers and their families.
How nice, yeah.
And she's asking special prayers for the captain of the vessel, who she says is a top professional and loves and cares for all his crew members. Isn't that really beautiful?
That's beautiful, yes.
And then she adds this, wait here, lady. She says, I think the whole ship will be listening.
Oh, they will.
Wonderful. I hope they're praying with us.
Yeah.
I'd love to know the name of the ship, Luis, but wherever it is in that vast ocean, the Pacific Ocean, you've got a little radio prayer family that are praying for that vessel, for everybody on board, yes. That there will be a great purity of heart on board the ship. And that purity of heart, as we know from the Gospels, means that you will be able to see God. Yes. So we pray for that on board this ship, and we pray that the captain will be a good captain to all under his care. So it's quite unusual, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've had a couple of quick texts in. I'll just run through those. We've had a listener in New York City who has texted us asking for prayers of protection in his professional work. Okay. And he wants to remain anonymous. We shall do that. We'll pray for you. Don't worry. Listener in New York City, we're praying for you and your professional work and also for protection. And then finally, our good friend Elisa, who listens in New Jersey, she's asking for prayers again for her father, Bill. You may remember that Bill, who did so much sidewalk witness outside abortuaries and so forth, he's now in a home and he's having to deal with various cancer and various other problems. And Elisa wasn't able to go and visit him with her daughter, his grandchild. So let's pray for Elisa and her father, Bill, at this time, that the situation will resolve itself and Bill once more will be able to take his grandchild in his arms and tell her how much he loves her. Okay, I think that's enough for this fourth decade. We're getting it all today. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Rose. Okay, for this fifth and final decade, I'm going to come back to both of you ladies at the very end for the final word. But before we do so, let's find out from our producing team here. Let's go to Mike. Mike, anybody you'd like us to pray for today?
Yes, Kevin. I'd like to pray for my dad who has COVID again. He got it a couple of years ago and was really, really bad. And it's bad this time, too. Hard to say the severity of it, but more of a cold, but still, you know, at his age, at 73, it's tough.
Absolutely. So now your dad has been on this show. He phoned in one day. I remember having a very interesting chat with him. Just remind me the name of your father, Mike.
Yes, Don Romano.
Don, that's it. Yeah. So is Don in hospital or is he still at home at the moment?
He's still at home right now. I think my mom said she was going to take him somewhere. So we'll see.
We better pray for your mom as well, hadn't we?
Yeah. Pray for her as well because she's.
She'll be the caregiver.
Yes, she will. She will. So.
But, that's Edith, right?
Edith, yes, that's right. Yeah, you remembered.
So Edith and Dawn, listen, if you're listening to this, Mike, your devoted son rightly has brought you to our attention today. And we're going to pray for this COVID. We're going to pray, Dawn, that it disappears, okay? We're going to pray for a miracle here live on air this morning. Why not?
Why not?
When you've got when you've got nothing, you might as well ask for everything, right?
That's right.
So let's pray this morning that this passes dawn, this moves away, much to your relief and probably the greater relief of Edith. Let's keep praying for Dawn and Edith until this passes and they're restored to full health once more. And maybe Dawn or Edith, you can phone the show in due course and we'll all give thanks. No one more so than your dear son, Mike.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mike. Okay, Reed, anybody you would like us to pray for this morning?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for anybody who is a parish administrator or a parish secretary. We went to a young adult group meeting over the weekend to a Pensacola Blue Wahoos game, and it was a great time, but Melanie, who is the evangelical director at St. Patrick's, just related to me how hard Charles Pinkert and Flavia, I'm not exactly sure her last name, but the secretary there at St. Patrick's, her name is Flavia, and she's extremely dedicated. So I would love to pray for everybody who is a administrator or secretary in our archdiocese.
I would like to add Wanda Tyson to that from St. John's as well.
Wonderful. We pray for, listen, the parish secretaries and the parish admin, they're the unsung heroes, right? They have to put up with all the parishioners and all the priests and everybody else. So let's pray for them all this morning. And if you're listening to this and you're a parish administrator, we salute you and we give thanks and we ask God to bless you this day in some way.
Yes.
Now, we mustn't forget to pray for our wonderful guest, Anna Luce. We pray for the success of her product that will do an awful lot of good because it's going to help a lot of families with children who have Rett syndrome. Yes. Pray for Anna, we pray for her husband, Robin, and we pray for her whole family. But above all, we pray for her darling child, Rancy, who is such an unexpected gift to her and her family. Now, before I come to you ladies for the final word, we've had another text in from Louise. Good morning again, Louise. Louise has three beautiful grandchildren. Elizabeth, aged 3, Wilson, aged 4, and little Jack, aged 4 months. Now, I think, Louise, we prayed for Jack just before he was born, and then we celebrated once he was born. So Jack gets double helpings this morning because he's a kind of Turley Frequency adoptee, so to speak. So, Louise, thank you. Elizabeth Wilson and Jack, we're praying for them all this morning. Okay, Mary and Rose, final words from you. Final people, things you want us to pray for. Who wants to go first?
This is Rose. I'll go. I'd like to pray for my husband who's dealing with some nerve pain in his tooth. It's really bad. And so he can't even have coffee. So let me just say that probably makes him a little grumpier than usual. So I'd like to pray for that. But I'd also like to pray in thanksgiving for my visit to see my grandson in Germany and be there for his christening. What a blessing that was. So I'd like to pray for little Nicholas and his parents.
Nicholas, what a lovely name for a little baby from living in Germany where the great St. Nicholas originated. That's beautiful, Rose. May I have the Christian name of your husband so we can pray for him properly?
His name is Rick.
Rick. Okay. Well, Rick, listen, if you're feeling very sorry for yourself, we understand, Rick, but we're going to pray that that pain goes and that you're restored to your cheerful self. And you'll be saying to Rose, I can't believe it. Something's happened, and you and Rose will say, I know.
I do know.
We really do.
So good, yes.
Okay, Mary, final word to you.
Nicholas is the namesake of my deceased son. The anniversary of his death is Friday. We'll be having a mass there where we originally went, which was the Holy Family in Mobile, and Sunday we'll have him in the Mass Intentions at Christ the King. And for all of those who have lost children,
yes,
that God will be with them, and for the repose of their souls.
Yes, amen.
I'm so sorry, Mary.
He is so sorely missed.
How many years is it since Nicholas passed?
19.
Okay. Well, we pray very much for Nicholas. Pray that his soul and souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace. And we also pray, Mary, for Our Lady, on this day when we're celebrating Our Lady's parents, maybe Our Lady can also throw her mantle around you. You're named after her, and give you a maternal kiss today to know how much you're loved and how much you were loved by Nicholas.
Amen.
Okay, we lift all of these up in this fifth and final decade. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent. But with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Mary and Rose, thank you so much for coming in and brightening up our day by praying with us.
Thank you, Kevin, so much.
Yes.
I hope you're going to come back soon.
We plan to.
Yeah.
Good. Well, listen, have a wonderful feast of St. Joachim and Anne, your grandparents, rejoicing in your vocation. I hope you have a wonderful day with your grandparents, if indeed you get a chance to be with them.
Yes, I hope so.
All right. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, when we come back, we are going to be hearing the story of a Londoner who had a mystical encounter with the precious blood. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Charlie Frequency here live and exclusive, coming to you from London, but with no werewolves, vampires, or any other assorted creatures with me this morning, at least. Instead, we're praying the divine mercy, so it can't be all bad. Now, yesterday we had a review of the film Sound of Freedom from our very own Reed here, one of our producers here on the show. But I believe that Mike Romano also went, but I may have got this wrong. I think Mike went to see Barbie, but it was sold out, so he went to see Sound of Freedom. Am I getting that right, Mike?
Yeah, something like that.
So you ended up in the Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, forgive me, Barbie. I did. Reed and I both went to see it, and from the opening scene when you see the little girl, you know, singing and playing by herself and playing music, you just get that sense. I mean, especially as a father.
Yes.
And I whispered to Reed. I said, "This is gonna be harder for me to see, obviously, than you, but yeah, my heart just it reached out to that poor little girl, and of course represents all children who are being, you know, sex trafficked currently. It's a pandemic, and the performances by Jim Caviezel, just, oh my gosh, this is right up there with him playing Jesus. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better role. And his eyes, you know, film acting is all in the eyes, mm-hmm. and his eyes have so much soul. You know, that they're so truthful. They tell the story, and you could see how much it wrenched him, you know, to the very core, that he had to go after this, you know, well, these two girls, you know, a brother and sibling, brother and sister, who are sex trafficked. The performance, not only of Jim Caviezel, but the other gentleman who helped him, was a heavier set man, kind of balding, who led him to
Michelle try to inform you who that is. That's how I got messed up yesterday. We'll get that figured out for you, Mike.
But anyway, yeah, there was a line there that really stuck with me, and I'll be talking about it. I'll be writing about it rather on my e-blast. And he shares his encounter with Jim Caviezel's character, Tim Ballard, about having an encounter with a prostitute who wound up being 14 years old. Sorry to spoil the that little tidbit of information there. But he says, seeing her, seeing that pain, seeing that sadness in her eyes, I saw it in my own soul. And when God calls, you don't hesitate. And I think that's a lesson for us all. When God calls us, and he calls us all, we can't hesitate to take action.
Yeah. Now, I'll ask you, Mike, the question. Sure. I was asking Reed yesterday, because it's a question on my mind, because I have this the screener on my computer, and I just haven't got around to watching it. And part of the reason is because I think I get it. I'm all for it. You know, the subject matter and the exposing of this kind of thing. Absolutely. All for it.
Yeah.
But is it a movie, and a lot of people are listening, wondering, should I go to this or not? Is it a movie that you can go and, inverted commas, enjoy, in the sense that it's a riveting movie experience? Or is it a film which is really about a message, and therefore something where you're going to come out feeling, yes, this is right, but it's not really a movie experience? Do you know what I mean?
I do. I think it's a little bit of both. It's both, but I think it's more of the message.
Mm-hmm.
That they're trying to get to you, and obviously it's a message that the media doesn't want you to get.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
And
the reason why the media in Hollywood doesn't want you to get. And I'm so thrilled that this movie is making so much and doing so well in the box office, and I think that every person should see this film of appropriate age, obviously.
Yeah, Kevin, I also think that this film stands on its artistic merits as well.
Yes.
I mean, that, I feel like that is part of what you're asking, and the atmospheric music, the actual images and everything, it's really well done, and to me, that did complete the actual movie experience.
Yeah.
Just the quality.
Oh, yeah. Hands down, and I think, and I hope that VidAngel crowdfunds their movies. I hope and pray that this is the way of the future.
Yeah.
And I think because the truth needs to be told, and if it needs to be told, if with the help of of financial helping of people like myself in the pews, then I'm all for it.
Yes.
I would love to get in on how I can help with what little I have in Catholic ministry. I would love to help out to crowdfund a movie of this caliber, because I know the effectiveness, and I highly recommend anybody who's seen it to pay it forward. We had a generous donor who sits on the board, Mr. Jim Pachinski, who thank you, Jim, again for giving me the funds to send Reed and I to go watch this movie.
Oh, that's really kind.
So thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to see this, if there's anybody out there that'd like to see this movie, I'll give them some money to go see it. So.
I think you better get to the phones quick, Reed. There's going to be an avalanche show. might regret that blanket.
I'll send two people. I'll send two people. That's all I have money for.
Two people every hour on the hour.
I wish.
But listen, I just checked because we were talking about it yesterday and the day before. It's now 127,600,000.
Oh, praise God.
So another 3 million's been added since mm-hmm. Monday. So your dimes have really helped it as well. This film is only going to get bigger and better. But the
other thing,
Mike, which you might be interested in, we were to have somebody from Angel Studios on talking about specifically just what you were mentioning there about how to fund these things, but also how to be a contributor to it. Now, in some instances, like our dear friend Jim, who bought the tickets, that's how some people will contribute to the success of a project like this. There are others, though, that will have their own gifts and their own talents, which may contribute to the artistic gift of whatever the next film project is. So it's for everybody to get on board with whatever the gifts that you've been given, be they financial, artistic, or whatever, and the Lord will use you, because Sound of Freedom is literally that. It's a sound of freedom sounding across Hollywood, and it's saying that enough is enough. There is a different way of doing this, and we want different films for a real audience that's out there.
Amen.
Okay, listen, guys, thank you so much for doing the reviews on that. You're pushing me towards pressing that button to watch it. I'm getting there, but not just yet. Now, let's go story time with what we've got left. Now, I want to tell you a story about a Londoner who had a number of mystical experiences, but she was such a sort of ordinary person. It's quite surprising when you hear what you're about to hear. Now, the thing about this woman is I mentioned her the other day. Do you remember? Her name is Mary Potter. It's very close to Harry Potter. There's only a couple of different words or different continents and were there, but it's Mary Potter from London. And I told you about how I came across Mary Potter, and it was by total accident, as much as anything is by accident in this life. And if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you'll know that me, Reed, Mike, Michelle, none of us believe in accidents. Everything is preordained in a sense. Everything is part of God's wonderful plan for each soul. And that involves often the people we meet each day, absolutely, and the people sometimes you meet and you marry and you have a family. Wonderful. It's also the experiences like we heard this morning from Anna with Rancy and how that has totally changed her life and her husband's life, but in a way that they could never have foreseen. Okay. But there's another type of encounter that we sometimes can overlook or miss. And it's this. You and me, especially we Catholics, we're very conscious of having heavenly friends. Now, sometimes these heavenly friends are very obvious. So we have what's known as Christian names, and they're Christian names because they are names of saints. So I have St. Kevin looking after me. Who was St. Kevin? Well, St. Kevin's a very interesting figure. He was a 5th, 6th century Irish saint. And he lived a very interesting life. He was of noble stock in the sort of eastern part of Ireland, but he renounced the world and went off to be a hermit. He liked being on his own. And I can identify with that to some extent. However, Kevin could never be left alone. Wherever Kevin went, because of his personality, because of his holiness, people were attracted to him and they would develop little communities around him. So he ended up becoming a kind of a patron to a number of little communities that formed around him. And he was happy enough with that, I guess. And Kevin was also very much a holy man, a very prayerful man, but he was also somebody who enjoyed ordinary life. He loved the animals, the birds, and the countryside. And there's lots of wonderful stories about him and these birds and animals, a bit like St. Francis a few centuries later. So St. Kevin is my patron saint, so I should have a greater devotion to him, but there's not a lot known about St. Kevin. So he is a name, and I sometimes ask him to help me. But whoever your patron saint, there's a kind of a spiritual connection. And if you're a Catholic, baptized, you will have a patron saint. So we're all, none of us are orphans spiritually. That said, over the course of our lives, we can encounter the lives of holy people that leave a mark on us. Now, I told you the wonderful story of the woman who had a miraculous cure because of her invocation of St. John Henry Newman. Now, she asked for his help before he was a saint, and because of the help he gave her, which was totally miraculous, saved her life and the life of her unborn child, the then blessed John Henry Newman became St. John Henry Newman. And I remember at the end of the interview I did with her about that experience, I said to her, remind me, why did you choose John Henry Newman as your sort of saint, your go-to saint for prayers? And I never forget, she paused, she looked at me, and she said, Kevin, I didn't choose him. Think about that. Isn't that interesting? We think we choose saints that are going to help us. We like this saint and we think, yeah, this saint is somebody I like to pray to, somebody whose assistance I will ask in this particular situation. But have you ever thought that perhaps that saint has been waiting in heaven for you to realize that so they can help you? Makes it much more interesting, doesn't it? It sort of turns the tables spiritually, so to speak. So, I told you the story about I went into St. George's Cathedral in Southwark, which is the cathedral, the Catholic cathedral on the southern side of the Thames River, which cuts right through the centre of London. And the cathedral in the northern part of London is Westminster Cathedral. It's a much more famous cathedral, a much older cathedral. It's the Cardinal's Cathedral. It's a cathedral dedicated, interestingly, to the precious blood. The cathedral on the other side of Southwark is St. George's. St. George's Cathedral, dedicated to the patron saint of England. Now, St. George, for those of you who know these sorts of things, was not an Englishman, contrary to what many Englishmen think. I think he was from Georgia, and he's also the patron saint of many other countries, as well as England. He was one of those popular saints from way, way back. Now, I told you about going into that church one day. I was going to Mass, or I was going to visit the Blessed Sacrament. I can't remember. And I remember glancing across and seeing a little framed photograph that was stuck to the wall near where the holy water stoup is. And it was very nicely done, but it was small and discreet. So I went over to it, and there was this picture of this nun, and it looked rather interesting. It was one of those Victorian pictures which had obviously been black and white but then had been colorized, which gives it an almost a kind of cartoonish feel to it. But there was a little bit of script beside it, and also a little plaque telling us who this was, and it was Venerable Mary Potter. And the first thing that struck me was, well, there are two things that struck me. The first thing was I'd never heard of her. No idea who she was. Now, I happen to know many of the English saints, many of the English venerables, many of the English blessed servants of God. There aren't that many. So you tend to know who they are. But this woman was Venerable Mary Potter, and I knew nothing about her. And I was looking at this photograph of this nun with a big white headdress, and I thought, who is she? So that was the first thing I noticed. The second thing that struck me was how English her name was. Now, it's not that there aren't English saints. Of course there are. There are many English saints. But the church, the Catholic Church in England, certainly for many centuries, because of its history, the people who have been Catholic have largely been immigrant from Ireland, from Italy, Poland, all across the world. But the number of Catholics who are English, certainly in the 19th century, would have been very, very small. And it tended to be men and women of a particular aristocratic background. And that was because that some of the old Catholic families, they had remained Catholic because they were, if you like, supported or defended in their retention of the faith by the fact that they were wealthy. They had lands, they had large houses, they had connections. The police or the army or the authorities would never go near them, so they managed to remain Catholic down through the centuries. The average most people became Anglican and then split into Methodism, and after the Reformation, many, many Protestant sects. And England was very much a Protestant country. It was not a Catholic country by any means. So to have somebody with such an English name, looking so distinctly Roman in her habit, was a bit of a shock. But also, who is this Venerable Mary Potter? Now, the information that was there in the cathedral was very sparse. It was just enough to sort of interest me, but not enough to really satisfy who this person was. But that's okay. Because, you know, ever since there's been something called the internet, it has been very, very easy to find out who these people are. Now, I told you that I sort of put it to the back of my mind that I must research who this Mary Potter was. I must find out who and what she did. Why is she venerable? What's her story? And that was a few years ago, and I did absolutely nothing about it. Completely forgot about it. That was until, I think it was Sunday night, very early in the morning, Sunday night into Monday night, or Monday morning. And I told you that unexpectedly I woke up at 3 a.m. or thereabouts. And I said to you that that time is the worst time in the world to wake up, because it's too early to get up. And it's a bit difficult sometimes getting back to sleep. And it doesn't happen very often to me. I'm not complaining about it. So what I did was I got up, got my computer out, started doing some work. And I started writing something about the precious blood. Do you remember that's the month that we're celebrating in July? The month of the precious blood. And I did a quick search, and guess whose name popped up? Yeah, the Venerable Mary Potter. And I remember thinking, that's odd. What has she got to do with the precious blood? Now, I'm very conscious that we have come almost to the conclusion of our story time today. So I'm going to leave you with that question until tomorrow when we have another story time. And I will start to conclude this mystery as to how the Venerable Mary Potter returned strangely into my life in this month dedicated to the precious blood, and vicariously through me to you here live on Archangel Radio. But I want to leave you with that question. Do we choose the saints, or do they choose us? And that includes you. Okay, for now, Venerable Mary Potter, pray for us.
Kevin, we've really had a lot of heartfelt sharing today. It's been a touching episode, I think.
Yes, I think Mary's talking about her daughter and that whole situation. I mean, that's just...
Yes. Anna Luce, Mary Trawick, Rose Gardner. I mean, it's been a star-studded cast today.
To say nothing of Reed Hodges and Mike Romano.
Oh, well, we're on there. We're on there often.
You're always shining brightly in the firmament of the Turley frequency, that's for sure.
Well, I appreciate it. What do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we meet the monk and priest, Father Lou Grobe, and he will be coming to discuss all things monastic, but in particular, woodworking.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay. That's always been something that's interesting, is how those guys who are pretty much in isolation have some interesting hobbies.
Well, I'm just hoping for everybody listening that he hasn't taken a vow of silence. That's my only concern. Listen, if you've enjoyed listening to us today, we've enjoyed having your company very, very much. So if so, let's do it all again. Tomorrow, same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love, and until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.